Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Lincoln 102. Responding 241 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911 on the Tivit 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin in the front.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high freight 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another great live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. I'm your host this evening and every show, Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization slash association based in Atlanta, Georgia, with training facilities and offices in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Richmond, Virginia. We're growing, folks. We're growing. We're glad that you're here with us tonight on this beautiful, sunny, hot June day, the 12th of June, 2011. Now, I say hot, humid, for one reason, and one reason only, and that is to tell you up front immediately that, as has been the case for several weeks, every time I try to broadcast, thunderstorms follow me. No matter where I am in this U.S. of A, whether it's weekday or weekend, every time for the last five shows, there's been a thunderstorm looming nearby or directly overhead, as is the case tonight. Just minutes, and I mean minutes, folks, of going on the air. We went from a very sunny, bright, hot day, temperatures around 95 degrees, to a very stormy, dark, gloomy, thunderous, boom, boom. Wow. Show of force, Mother Nature having her way just outside my studio here today. Just unbelievable, the downpours, the thunder, just all of a sudden, within 15 minutes of the show. I can't escape it, folks. There's just no escaping it. I'm telling you the weather in my neck of the woods only because, as is the case many times during the summer months, living in the Southeast, and this being an internet-based radio show, there is a possibility, sometimes better than average, that we may lose connection either because the power goes out or the internet goes down. If that does happen, I just want to give you the heads up. Never fear, I'll be there. I'll be back. And, you know, sometimes we have to continue on an hour or two after the show. We have to start over or pick up where we left off, which will be the case. You may not be here. It may not be a live program any longer to you, but it will definitely, the show will go on, folks. Basically, bottom line, regardless of the weather, the show will go on. We're glad that you joined us tonight. We've got so much information to share with you. Now, I know, as is the case many times when we have a special training subject, as we do tonight. Tonight, we will be talking about Alzheimer's disease and dementia, both the recognition, the response, as well as how to handle these particular emergencies. And I know, as in many cases when we have these type of subjects outside of the normal security law enforcement topics and training, that we get a lot of other visitors who would not normally listen to our show. As is the case tonight, we can tell we have a lot of folks already on the program as well as calling in. So what we're going to do, as we try to do any night, any show that we have a special topic, we're going to immediately put the training up front. So I'm going to hold off on our regular spiel, our regular show, so that we can bring you this special training. And that way, those of you who are listening tonight just because of the topic, you'll be able to hear the training. And then if you're not interested in the remaining security police news and events, you'll be able to drop off after that. So without any further ado, I do want to give you a couple of quick headlines. This week we did have a security officer killed in the line of duty, security officer working in Santa Ana, California, in Orange County, was killed. He was an unarmed security officer working at a large apartment complex, and someone killed him. They believe it was gang-related. Moments ago, I was told that police officer who was struck a week ago in Detroit, Michigan, died of his injuries. Officer Charles Armour passed away this afternoon from his injuries. We have much more news to bring you, and some other great topics and things that you'll want to hear. But let me go straight to our training. This will be a two-part series on Alzheimer's disease, dementia, recognition, response, and how to handle being involved in these type of emergencies. Now, for those of you in the security profession, you may be wondering, well, what in the world do I need to know about this? I don't need to know about medical emergencies. I don't need to know about how to respond to these type of situations. I never will intermingle with these kind of people. I work in a factory. I am a security officer at a gate, at a warehouse. This will never be anything I use. That may or may not be true. In fact, it probably is not true. Alzheimer's disease and dementia is the fastest growing disease in America. This is a very intense, draining, and emotional type of training tonight that we're going to put on. This is part one. Tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, will be part two. For many people, this is a very personal topic because they have family members, relatives that have the disease, their mom, their dad, grandparents, and aunt. Many people know of others who have had the disease and succumbed to it, or possibly have had the disease for a number of years. Tonight, in the first part of our training, in part one, we're going to be talking about knowing how to recognize the symptoms, how to respond to the emergency. This is an overview training designed specifically for emergency responders and public safety personnel, including private security. We will be talking about what the disease is and is not. We will talk about the stages of Alzheimer's disease, sundowning, something that you may or may not be aware of, what it means, wandering, approaching an Alzheimer's disease patient. We will be talking about search and rescue, Project Lifesaver, and Safe Return. We will cover all of these topics and more in this first segment of the training, as well as part two tomorrow night. Medical emergencies are something that happens everywhere, every day. It does not matter where you live, what city, state, or country. It doesn't matter if you're involved in the EMS, rescue, fire profession, law enforcement, or private security. It does not matter if you're a civilian. It doesn't matter if you work at a mall or a factory. Medical emergencies are going to happen. And whether or not you're prepared, whether or not you're trained, whether or not you recognize them will mean life or death for the person involved in that medical emergency. In the private security public safety industry, protecting life and property is part of our job. It's what we do. It's what we're there for, to protect life and property. It's not all about arresting people. It's not all about shootouts, active shooters. It's not all about all of the other many duties that we have. Many times we will be involved in medical emergencies, as we spoke about in other training modules, such as the medical responses, heart attacks, mental issues, mental health crisis, and various other medical emergencies. That's why this training module for you and I is extremely important. Medical emergencies are going to happen wherever you are. So tonight in this Alzheimer's training, part one, we will talk about recognizing the disease that is becoming the fastest growing disease in the U.S. We deal with people every day, day after day, week in, week out, no different than any law enforcement agency. We're out and about in the general public. We're on patrol at the shopping mall. We're patrolling in the vehicles. Our assignments are varied. Our environments, our settings, our places where we're assigned are different as night and day. So we're going to come across all sorts of people. Many of those may need our assistance. Some of those may be having a medical emergency, a medical crisis. It's up to us to know how to read those situations, how to respond to them adequately, appropriately, to the many different types of emergency situations. Things are not always as they seem. Sometimes a person who seems to be intoxicated may actually be having a medical emergency, such as a seizure, Alzheimer's disease, or dementia. 5.4 million people in the U.S. currently live with Alzheimer's disease, and it's growing every day because we are the baby boomer generation. Yeah, we're that generation 30, 40 years ago that was the hippie. We're the generation that knew it all. We're the generation who lived out of our VW bugs. But now that generation no longer has the pep in their step, no longer has it all figured out. It's the fastest growing generation of old people. Let's face it, no way to slow it down. You can have operations, you can buy lotions and potions, you can use all the makeup in the world to cover up your age lines, your age spots. But it's not going to slow down the aging process. Alzheimer's disease is one that attacks with vengeance. It kills brain cells that do not reproduce or repair themselves. It is a progressive neurological disease that there is no way to stop. It impairs your memory. It causes you to be restless, lose your language ability, and goes downhill fast. There are a number of stages of this disease that we're going to be talking about tonight. There are things you will recognize or should recognize about someone who has the disease. Patients, unfortunately, never get better. They only get worse.
But my memory, I think, is good. I think it's good. But, I mean, I know telephone numbers and my car and everything else. But sometimes it gets blurry.
My memory? I think it's pretty good. But important things I don't seem to remember. If I could, I would be out of college.
I was in denial about how bad the Alzheimer's was. But I saw it progressing. It was getting worse. He was sleeping more and more. He was just like out of it sometimes. My dad was able to do everything, and now he's able to barely care for himself.
William and Harvey are just two of the 5.3 million people in the United States living with Alzheimer's disease, according to the Alzheimer's Association, and a new case is diagnosed every 70 seconds.
Alzheimer's disease is what we call a progressive neurodegenerative disease, and that's just a fancy way of saying that cells in the brain or neurons are dying because of the disease process.
While no one really knows what causes Alzheimer's, some of the signs include impaired memory, restlessness, language deterioration, emotional apathy, impaired behavior, and confusion.
And the family is great. We had two sons, and one was a PhD, and I can't remember the other one.
My father, he used to own a gin mill. Then he went into the butcher shop business, and he also delivered beer and soda around town, and people working for him. It was an interesting life. He made it interesting, so did my mother. And they're still both around, too, and I'm 92 years old. How about that?
If memory changes lead to real functional problems, people are not recognizing people that they've known for years, people are forgetting how to get to places they've gone to for years, or people just aren't able to remember things that they used to be able to remember to the point that it's affecting their ability to live their life, to carry out their daily tasks, that's when it's time to seek the help of a professional.
That's when Linda decided she needed some assistance.
People would come to the house and he would just let them in. Strangers, perfect strangers, he would let into the house. And they would stay for hours. And I would worry that they'd be walking around my house, checking it out for later or possibly taking things. Or I didn't know, he was signing contracts for services that we didn't need.
Now Linda takes Harvey to a special day center for Alzheimer's patients, where he spends time with his new friend William and a dozen other patients. Both men are living more stimulating lives as the day center helps them to adjust to their future.
As you probably heard in that soundbite, the 92-year-old man who thought his parents were still alive. The other man, also in his 80s, thinking if he was a little bit smarter, he would be out of college by now. This disease steals and robs a person's ability to think, remember, or recognize people, places, or things, even their own family in the later stage of the disease. Eventually, even the ability to breathe. Can you imagine walking around doing your chores, going to the grocery store, out for just a walk on a beautiful summer day, and all of a sudden, you die just because you forget to breathe. Alzheimer's patients, unfortunately, that's exactly what happens to them. This disease continues to eat away one segment after the other of your brain until eventually you have no brain function whatsoever. In the soundbite, the woman said her husband would let strangers into the house to roam around and do what they will for hours at a time. Hours. People he never knew, didn't recognize. Oh, yeah. Sure, come on in. Hey, have a seat. Yeah, you're my uncle, aren't you? You're my brother. Hey, aren't you my son? They don't know any better. And that's at the point where things can become very dangerous for them and for you. I want to give you a quick rundown of Alzheimer's disease by the numbers. Currently, it's the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. The only cause of death without any treatment whatsoever. It cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed down. No matter what they do, there is no operation, no drugs, no treatment for this devastating disease. 15 million caregivers are actively involved in assisting Alzheimer's patients. If they all lived in a single state, it would be the fifth largest state in the U.S. As of 2008, Alzheimer's cost the U.S. $183 billion annually. $183 billion. Since 2000, the death rates from heart attacks, HIV, and stroke have dropped, while deaths from Alzheimer's disease has risen by 66%. Every 69 seconds, someone in the U.S. develops Alzheimer's disease. There's nothing a doctor can do. There's nothing that anyone can do. There's no treatment, no cure. It attacks a person's brain with vengeance.
But my memory, I think, is good. I think it's good. I mean, I know telephone numbers and my car and everything else.
You see, they think that they're doing fine. They think they have it under control. They don't know any better because the disease, it just eats away, continues to eat away at the brain cells. There are a number of stages in this disease. And unfortunately, there's no cure.
What is Alzheimer's disease? Alzheimer's is a slow, fatal disease of the brain, affecting 1 in 10 people over the age of 65. No one is immune. The disease comes on gradually as two abnormal protein fragments called plaques and tangles accumulate in the brain and kill brain cells. They start here in the hippocampus, the part of the brain where memories are first formed. Over many years' time, the plaques and tangles slowly destroy the hippocampus, and it becomes harder and harder to form new memories. Simple recollections from a few hours or days ago that the rest of us might take for granted are just not there. After that, more plaques and tangles spread into different regions of the brain, killing cells and compromising function wherever they go. This spreading around is what causes the different stages of Alzheimer's. From the hippocampus, the disease spreads here to the region of the brain where language is processed. When that happens, it gets tougher and tougher to find the right word. Next, the disease creeps toward the front of the brain, where logical thought takes place. Very gradually, a person begins to lose the ability to solve problems, grasp concepts, and make plans. Next, the plaques and tangles invade the part of the brain where emotions are regulated. When this happens, the patient gradually loses control over moods and feelings. After that, the disease moves to where the brain makes sense of things it sees, hears, and smells. In this stage, Alzheimer's wreaks havoc on a person's senses and can spark hallucinations. Eventually, the plaques and tangles erase a person's oldest and most precious memories, which are stored here in the back of the brain. Near the end, the disease compromises a person's balance and coordination. And in the very last stage, it destroys the part of the brain that regulates breathing and the heart. The progression from mild forgetting to death is slow and steady and takes place over an average of 8 to 10 years. It is relentless and, for now, incurable. Helping your family, friends, and neighbors to better understand Alzheimer's will reduce stigma, improve care, and even help the fight for a cure.
This disease is relentless, doctors say. When it begins, it goes through a progressive stage, attacking the brain and eating away at brain cells from one area to the next. That's why there are stages to the disease. A person in the early onset of this horrific disease may start off by just forgetting things. I forgot where I put my car keys. I forgot what time I was supposed to be there today. It may be things that we laugh off first. Oh, Judy, 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 what am I going to do with you? You're always forgetting things. Some people may just be forgetful, but for others, it may be the first sign of early onset of this disease. And as the disease progresses in an individual, they begin to become more forgetful. They may even have selective memory. Oh, I remember my wife, but I can't remember my son. I remember my name, but not much else. They may recognize one family member, but not the other one. They may not even recognize their own husband or wife. The disease continues to eat away at the brain cells. It's relentless, folks. Once it takes a hold, there is no letting go. And so in the early onset stages, in the early beginnings of this disease, it may present itself differently in each patient. You may think it's okay It's nothing. Oh, he's just becoming forgetful in his old age. And we laugh about it. But it's actually a sign. And sometimes, because we're ignorant, because we're not knowledgeable, because we don't want to think that our loved one may be, in the early onset, may be having this disease, we ignore it. We don't talk about it. It's like many other terrible things that happen in life. If we ignore it, it'll go away. But unfortunately, unlike other diseases caught in the later years, this disease has no treatment, no quick fix, no magical pills, potions, nothing that any doctor or specialist could do. That's why it's important to catch this disease as early as possible. How early, how young can a person actually have this disease? According to a recent study, dementia and Alzheimer's disease can hit children as young as 5. So the more we know about anything, especially something as serious as this, the faster we can respond, assist, and save a life. As private security and law enforcement personnel, it's our job, it's our duty, it's our moral obligation to protect, to help one another. But if we don't know what to look for, if we don't know how to help, then we're going to be as lost as the next person. In 2005, a security officer at a Connecticut hotel physically escorted a man he found sleeping in a bathroom out of the hotel into the frigid nights of winter. He thought the man was a vagrant. He thought the man was a transient. He thought the man was homeless. They found the man in a nearby alley the next day, dead of exposure. He was an Alzheimer's patient, missing, and in his last stages of the disease. Had the security officer been trained, had he been knowledgeable, had he taken just a few more minutes to recognize the possibility that the man wasn't a transient, wasn't a homeless man, wasn't some vagrant off the street, he would have been able to assist that patient. Instead, he treated him like any piece of trash that you throw out the door. In 2007, a police officer stopped a speeding vehicle in New Jersey. The man was disoriented. He couldn't find his identification. He was confused. The police officer checked the man's name through NCIC for his driver's license information, and it was clear. No violations, no wanton warrants. The 82-year-old man was given a verbal warning and allowed to drive down the freeway. He died in a car wreck after being confused. More than 400 miles from home, another Alzheimer's patient that no one recognized the symptoms, no one recognized the signs, no one took a few extra moments to see maybe, possibly, Could it be that there's something wrong? The guy's confused. He's dazed. He's out of it. Maybe there's something more to this. In 2009, a Border Patrol agent at the Canadian border questioned a man trying to cross the border between the U.S. and Canada. He was confused, disheveled. He had an apparent memory lapse, the agent said. He could not remember his name, where he came from, or why he was where he was at. But this Border Patrol agent recognized the signs. He knew. He knew. Not only that something was not right, not only that something was out of place with this man, but that he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. It turns out the man was missing from Ohio. He had driven from Ohio to the Canada border. An Alzheimer's patient who had left his house 5 minutes away from a grocery store. He was just going to the grocery store, according to his wife, who allowed the man to drive, who knows why. The man was going just 5 minutes down the road and wound up in Canada. Thank God this Border Patrol agent had some training, some knowledge, some insight into the disease and treated the person, responded right away, began to look into the circumstances. In this series, I don't expect you to become an Alzheimer's expert. To be honest, most public safety officers are not medically knowledgeable. They're not interested in being doctors or nurses or paramedics. Some could care less. However, as I just stated, it is our job, our duty, and our moral obligation to look out for one another and to help those in need. And how can you help someone if you don't know what they need? How can you help someone if you don't know there's a problem? As security and law enforcement officers, if you were investigating a person, if you were responding to a call, one of the first questions we ask when we arrive on the scene, how can we help you? What can we do for you? Why are you calling us tonight? But if that person cannot respond, if that person can't tell us what they're doing, why they call, or if they even need help, then how can we possibly help them if we don't recognize the symptoms, the signs of this horrific disease? Alzheimer's patients won't tell you they need help because they don't know they need help. They think everything is fine. They seldom even know that they're lost, hungry, or cold. And often, they think they're home. Often, they think they're just a block away from where they're supposed to be. Alzheimer's patients may tell you they're on the way to the work when they retired 20 years ago. They're meeting their wife at the store when she's been dead 10 years. We need to recognize all of the signs, all of the symptoms, all of the warnings so that we can help those who may not know they need help. That's our job. So let me tell you a couple of telltale signs that may help you. These are important signs of an Alzheimer's patient who may be having a crisis, an emergency. Spot the detail before it's too late. One of the biggest clues that you're going to have out there is when you talk to someone and they're having a memory loss. And it's not just one of those, oh, I forgot where my car keys are. Well, I forgot where I laid down that pen. I can't find my favorite writing instrument, my favorite pen. No. When you're talking with someone, when you're questioning someone, when you're asking them about their name, their address, things that any person should immediately remember, and they can't, there's clue number one, memory loss. A person who is disoriented, they have no sense of time. You ask them, well, sir, do you know what time it is? Do you know what day or year it is? Well, I left my house 20 minutes ago. What time was that, sir? It's about 3 p.m. Sir, it's almost midnight. It is. Yeah. Disoriented. No sense of time. They have impaired judgment. You heard on the soundbite about the man who was allowing people into his home. He didn't know. Allow them to come around, sit around, do whatever they want to do. He had impaired judgment, absent-mindedness, carelessness. Alzheimer's patients don't realize they're being careless. They may walk out in the middle of traffic. They may walk into a dangerous situation. Don't realize it. Some have an inability to communicate effectively. They may stutter. They may not be able to put their thoughts together. Inappropriate dress. Because they have, some patients have no realization of what's going on, what time of year it is, what season it is, what time of day it is. They may be dressed inappropriately for the season. You may come upon someone who has winter clothing on, heavy jackets, scarf, gloves, out walking, maybe in the mall, maybe down the street, maybe in your office complex, and it's 80, 90 degrees out there. Now, some people might look at that person as just some homeless guy. He always dresses like that, when in reality, it could very likely easily be an Alzheimer's patient because they have no sense of the temperature, no sense of the season, so they may be inappropriately dressed. Investigate it. Ask. Another sign or symptom is poor concentration. They may ask the same question over and over. What day is it? What day did you say it was? I can't remember. What day is today? They may have abstract thinking. They may be suspicious or even have paranoia in the end stages. Sometimes in the late stages, hallucinations and delusions. They see things. They think someone's after them. We laugh. Grandpa used to think there was spacemen in the bedroom with them. It's not funny. It's not funny. This disease is like none other. And it continues to get worse.
The police department is looking for a missing man. On June 4th, officers responded to the 100 block of Teakwood regarding a welfare check on Fred Schaaf. Family members say he suffers from Alzheimer's and that he just walked away from his residence, has not been seen or contacted since. He has brown hair and brown eyes and was last seen wearing dirty, dark-colored dress slacks and a white shirt. Anyone with information regarding Fred's whereabouts is asked to contact the Pocatello.
Dr. Peter Kramer with Wrightsville Beach Family Medicine. I'm Dr. Peter Kramer with Wrightsville Beach Family Medicine in Wilmington, North Carolina. We want to talk a little bit about the stages of Alzheimer's disease. There are three primary stages of Alzheimer's disease: the mild, the moderate, and the severe. The mild begins with minor memory changes, slight confusion, maybe can't remember you know, more detailed or complex-oriented tasks, multi-step tasks, like if you have to do four or five things in sequence and you have to rely on your memory to do it, you might forget those, losing your car keys, forgetting phone numbers, forgetting to do certain tasks. It can then progress to the moderate stage where those tasks are much more limited. You may forget to drive where you've driven. You might find yourself in a store and wonder how you got there. You may go to a bank that you've gone to for 25 years and not remember how to get home. It's forgetting very familiar things that you should remember. There also may be loss of bowel and bladder control, mostly bladder control, as a result of the nerve signals can't get from the brain to the bladder effectively. And that's more moderate dementia or Alzheimer's dementia. And then the next stage is the severe stage where memory is completely faltered. They may not remember close family, friends, loved ones, any kind of recent events. Maybe some memories preserved for past events in the distant past, but recent events, they require help with their activities of daily living, walking, bathing. They're probably completely incontinent. They may not be able to feed themselves. Most Alzheimer's disease patients don't die of Alzheimer's disease. They die of something else, a pneumonia, urinary tract infection, things like that.
It's a terrible disease because of how it attacks the brain. In the early onset stage, like I said a moment ago, you may not recognize the person has the disease. Oh, they're always forgetful. Oh, she's getting more forgetful in her old age. I'm telling you what. She can't remember something she put down a minute ago. These are signs. These are reasons to get the person to the doctor. In the early stages of Alzheimer's disease, they may be functional. They may remember how to drive to the grocery store. They may remember one thing and not the other. So in the public safety and security industry, we may be out. Our officers may be out on the job. We may get the call that someone is acting suspicious. Someone is trespassing. Someone seems to be out of place. Maybe they're dressed inappropriately. It may be 30 degrees out and the man is walking around in shorts and a t-shirt. So we get the call, suspicious person. When you get there, when you begin to investigate, use these telltale signs to determine whether or not it's Alzheimer's. Check their memory. Ask them questions about themselves, their name, their social, their date of birth, their address, their phone number, and see what kind of response you get from them. In the middle stage of Alzheimer's, they may not be able to remember any of that. They may not be able to respond to you. They may even become suspicious of you. Remember, when you are dispatched or come upon these type of situations, it may not be a criminal or deceptive incident, but a sign of a medical emergency. We're talking about Alzheimer's disease in this training, but it could very well be mental health, Lou Gehrig's disease, brain injuries, brain damage, or other disease that affect the mind. There are many types of these emergencies that you're going to encounter in your daily job, in your duties. Some of the things about Alzheimer's patients in the early to mid stages where they're still out and about in an uncontrolled environment that you may come upon that they're going to be involved in is wandering. We're going to talk more about wandering tomorrow in part two, but I will tell you that wandering is when they get out and they start walking around to and fro here and there, not knowing where they're going, not knowing where they're at, not knowing what their surroundings are, not realizing the dangers that are out there. You may encounter someone you've been called to check out, somebody suspicious. They're just wandering around the parking lot, been there for 6 hours, just walking back and forth, up and down, around and around. It may be a sign that this person is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Be aware that they could also be involved in shoplifting because they don't know any better. He just walked out of the store with that sandwich. He just walked out of the store with that hat. And you may be the loss prevention agent. You may be the security agent. You may be the police officer called to investigate that shoplifting. That's why it's important, before you slap the cuffs on, before you start slamming the guy to the ground, check and see, especially with the elderly persons who may be suffering from a number of medical conditions. Alzheimer patients may also be involved in auto crashes, traffic violations that you may come upon, you may get called to. Sometimes they may appear to be intoxicated, when in fact they're not. They may involve themselves in indecent exposure, maybe urinating outside because they don't know any better. They don't remember that you're supposed to go to the bathroom inside the house. You may get the call or you may observe it. You may be notified that somebody's loitering. They are prone to falls and injuries. They can even be involved in domestic violence situations, especially in the middle to late stages. They get angry and violent because they don't know. They're frustrated. And so they lash out. They don't recognize the person. They don't remember that you're the son, you're the husband, you're the wife. They don't know who you are. They think you might be harming them. And unfortunately, they're also involved in homicides and suicides. Remember, investigate when in doubt. Always, always check it out. Call backup. Call the police. Call the ambulance. Get other assistance there if you aren't sure. If you're not really familiar with the signs, if you're second-guessing yourself, well, I don't know if he's sick or not, you call 911 and get some assistance. There are a number of ways to identify an Alzheimer's patient. Many times, they'll be wearing jewelry, the medic bracelet, a necklace around, a lapel pin, some type of identifier. Their clothing may have label on it, patches. They may even be wearing an electronic bracelet, which is part of a recovery tool called Project Lifesaver that we'll talk about tomorrow. But if you are approaching someone that you've identified as an Alzheimer's patient, there are specific do's and don'ts in communication with these patients. First, you need to identify yourself clearly. I'm security officer so-and-so. I'm here to help you, sir. Use non-threatening tone of voice. Don't raise your voice. Don't yell. There's no need. You don't want to frighten them. You don't want to alarm them. Speak slowly and maintain a low voice. And this is very important. Maintain eye contact. Don't stand way up over them when they're sitting down. Don't be on your pedestal. If you have to, bend down to their eye level so that they can see you, so that they know that you're there to help, that you're not a threat to them. Use short, familiar words. Ask yes and no questions. And ask one question at a time. Remember, you're dealing with someone who has part of their memory missing. You're dealing with someone who has a disease that has eaten away many of their brain cells. Keep it as simple as possible. The KISS system. Keep it simple, stupid. One question at a time, because they're not going to be able to process it. They're not going to be able to put it all together if you jumble it up. And what is your name, sir? And wait for them. Be patient. Repeat the question exactly as before, because their mind is not going to be able to process all the variations of the same question. Keep it simple. What is your name, sir? What is your name, sir? Substitute nonverbal for verbal communications. Don't do all this waving and gesturing. Talk to them face to face. Attempt to remove the person from a stressful or dangerous situation gingerly, as gentle as possible. If you're in the middle of a road, you're in the middle of a highway, obviously you're going to have to get that person out of there. You're going to have to get to a safe location. You can't just grab the guy and pull him across the road. He might fight you because he's scared, because he doesn't know or she doesn't know any better, any different. So attempt to remove them from that situation as gingerly and gentle as possible. Like I said a moment ago, look for the identifiers or bracelets, tracking devices. And if at all possible, avoid the use of restraints, even if they have committed a criminal offense. Because they don't know. They don't know that they've assaulted someone. They don't know that they've shoplifted. They don't know. They don't understand what they did. One of the elements in any criminal case is that the person must understand, must know that they've committed a crime. And in this case, they clearly will not know. So if at all possible, unless it is a situation where they are extremely violent and you have to handcuff them, don't. Don't use any restraint, if possible. This is a disease unlike none other, folks. It is something that is growing rapidly. The fourth cause of death now in the U.S. Every 69 seconds, someone new becomes a victim of this deadly disease. Tomorrow in part two, we will be talking about search and rescue. How to do preliminary searches on your property. We will be talking more about wandering and sundowning. We will explain to you about Project Lifesaver and Project Safe Return. This is a disease. This is one of those things that you're going to have to deal with in your profession, whether it's on a personal level, whether it's on the job. I can guarantee you, if you don't have relatives that suffer from the disease, if you don't know anyone that has this disease, you will. You will. Tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, same place, same station. Join us for part two, Alzheimer's Disease Recognition and Response. And we will wrap it up tomorrow with a rescue, with wandering and other emergency training. What we're going to do now is we're going to switch gears into our usual show, and I'll be back after this message. For our second segment here, we appreciate you joining us tonight for Private Officer Talk Radio Live right here on the old internet. We hope that you were able to take some information from that segment of our training. We will definitely be back tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for part two. Again, this is definitely the type of training that will be needed in your profession. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there suffering with the disease. As I told you in the top of the program, breaking news out of Santa Ana, California, an unarmed security officer was killed at a large complex. Police believe it was gang-related. Also off the wires, Harrah's Casino in Pennsylvania was just fined $26,000 for allowing an underage person to gamble. Security agents, officers had identified the man earlier on as being underage, but let him play anyways. What if the teen had gotten drunk, had gotten into a fight, or fell and injured himself on the property? What if he got behind the wheel of a car and had a wreck or killed someone? Harrah's wouldn't be out just $26,000, pocket change for them. They'd be out millions and probably brought up on criminal charges. You got to think, folks, you can be a nice guy, enforce the rules and the law with a smile. It was against the law, and he should have told the team, sorry, Charlie, but you're just not old enough. As we taught you in our liabilities, culpability, and responsibility training a number of months ago, these are the exact type of situations that really get security and their clients and their companies in deep doo-doo. 2 weeks ago, we kicked off our new mentoring program, and for those of you who missed it, we began with our first
segment. It was called Get In Where You Fit In. If you didn't listen to the program on that particular night, we invite you to go back and listen to the on-demand version. It's available 24/7. We will have several new courses available to you if you've signed up for the mentoring program. We'll also be having phone conference calls and other training available to you. This is for anyone who's interested in furthering their career into security management or possibly owning their own security company someday in the future. We have a lot of great shows in our lineup. Tomorrow will be the second part of the Alzheimer's Recognition and Response. We also have Armed and Dangerous. We'll be talking to security officers who have recently been involved in a number of deadly force situations. We'll also have on our show a guest who has been involved in an incident where he had to shoot and kill an armed suspect. On Tuesday, join us for the Loss Prevention Zone, the LP Zone. We'll be talking about internal theft, the sleight of hand, six ways that a cashier can steal from you at the register. Be sure to join us if you're involved in loss prevention, retail security, shopping mall officer. You won't want to miss the program. Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, sleight of hand on the LP Zone. As always, I want to remind you that while we're on the radio, you are invited to email us at radio@privateofficer.com. Again, it's radio@privateofficer.com. And you can also do the same thing, I guess, if you want to, when you're listening a week or two or a month from now. If you have a question or comment, just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. You can submit your news, your training events, promotions, or anything else that's happening to you right there, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also follow us on the Internet, as we have to say every week because we have many different listeners. You can follow us on our own website, www.privateofficer.com. Right there we have a lot of information, A to Z. You can get it all right there on our main website. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and our own forums from our homepage at privateofficer.com. You can also link to our daily news blog, which is updated several times a day. And instead of giving you a bunch of different links and websites and all of that baloney, just go to our main website, www.privateofficer.com, and you can link right there from our homepage. Tonight's training and training that we do online, in person, through our school, are all ways of raising the bar of professionalism. The difference between just another guard and a security officer is the training, the knowledge, and the experience that they project and that they have. The training, the knowledge, and the experience will help you to project a more professional attitude, a more professional persona. It will also protect you in situations where you may have to use some type of force or get involved in situations and incidents that may become a little bit hairy. But that's what training and experience will do for you. It will save your butt. Now, if you're not interested in raising the bar of professionalism, that's fine. But I'm here for those of you who are. And that's why we put on courses like this Alzheimer's disease response and recognition. Because there are things that you're going to deal with, things that you'll be involved in and that you'll need to know how to act and how to respond.
Well, I don't know if you all have been going to our website on a regular basis or not, but for those of you who have not, I do want to let you know that we're currently hiring full-time instructors and educators. You must have certification as an instructor. This will be for our regional seminar division, which is currently being pumped up and activated, and we're out and about putting on seminars across the country. If you are interested and qualified, please send your resume to Stephanie K at privateofficer.com. This will require that you travel a couple times a month, and of course, you'll be paid for it. We're also hiring a marketing manager, someone who will be responsible for marketing our college courses, university courses, and we're also hiring advertising reps to sell advertising for our website and radio show. If you have experience or you'd like to give it a shot, send your resume to StephanieK@privateofficer.com. Speaking of training, this month, for the month of June, we have special scholarships for our Private Officer International members. If you are a member of the association and you're interested in taking one of the certification courses, we have scholarships available to you. It may be a partial, it may be the whole thing. If you're interested, there is a small application. Just send an email to trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. We're also offering payment plans for everybody, member or non-member. So if you're interested in getting some certification, some training, advanced knowledge, sign up for those courses today. We're want to let you know we're still in the process of opening up chapters. We're very committed to this. In fact, currently talking with several companies to assist in this goal and this part of our association. We're committed to opening chapters. We have six goals for these chapters: training, networking, recognition, community presence, assistance, recruitment. We're going to be in a lot of metropolitan regional areas. We're going to establish a presence. It's necessary at this point to be out there. We're also talking to a number of companies establishing paintball and shooting teams across the country. We just spoke with the organization this weekend in the Louisville, Cincinnati metro area. We will be establishing a team in the next month or so. And we are also networking with a number of shooting ranges across the country and training companies. And we've got a lot of great things coming down the pike and not so far away. So if you're a member of Private Officer International or not, stay tuned, folks, because we've got a lot going on. As I mentioned a moment ago, we've got a great road trip coming up. I'll be out in the Southwest and Mid-America area and also out on the West Coast and the New England area. We're taking kind of a bus trip without the bus. And the great thing is, you know, unlike the politicians, you won't be paying anything. So we will be out there as part of our road trip. This is something we've done last year as well. As part of our road trip, we're offering free six-hour blocks of training, use of force, shoot, don't shoot, and workplace violence. If you or your company would like to sponsor us, you must provide a training facility or a room, someplace, a hotel, someplace where we can put on our training. And you and your employees and your neighboring security agencies can participate free of charge. If you're interested, send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. These are Beyond the Guard Card skills-based series. No sleeping in my classroom, folks. If you think you're coming to sleep to get a little rest, forget it, because this is a hands-on type training. We will get you involved. There's no slides, no PowerPoints, No boring movies. I don't stand up in front of the classroom, nor do my instructors giving you a whole bunch of blah, 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 blah. Nuh-uh. This is a skill-based, hands-on training series. If you're interested, like I said, a free 6-hour block of training, any place that we're going to be at over the next couple of months, send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Don't forget about the Midwest Security Police Conference and Expo in Peoria, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. If you're in the Michigan, Indiana, Illinois area, or even if you're not, it's worth the drive. Join us August 23 and 24. We have a booth there at the expo, and I'll be speaking live and in person. I know, big deal. I'll be talking about how security is changing. You won't want to miss it. Join us at the Midwest Security Police Conference and Expo, Peoria, Illinois. Go to their website, Midwest Security Police Conference. Check it out. We're there. We're also going to be at the Security Police Expo up in New Jersey, Atlantic City. I believe that's next week. I'll be there. I won't sing for you. I was going to. I'll be there. So if you're in the New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, metro area, Pennsylvania, Delaware, join us. We're at that expo as well in Jersey City. We also have a speaking engagement in New Orleans coming up in July. If you're in the New Orleans area, Mississippi, somewhere along the Gulf Coast, join us. It's at a hotel. I'll be speaking for a company there. I don't have the location yet, but I will let you know. And I've got a number of other speaking engagements during the road trip. So send us an email if you're interested, if you're someplace that we're going to be and you want to participate. Or maybe you'd like for us to, give you some free training. Just send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Pretty easy. We have a lot going on. We still have our training initiative happening. This is open to members and non-members. Go to our website, privateofficer.com. Click on the blue banner up at the top. And you can take advantage right now of free training as we strive to reach our goal of 1,000 security officers who have been trained with at least 2 extra modules of training. So if you are required to have handcuffing and first aid in your state, this is great. But we're going to give you a number of other courses free of charge. We've also provided more than a dozen universities, colleges, Department of Homeland Security, and other locations that are also offering free online training. Go there today and sign up at www.privateofficer.com. You'll be glad that you did. It's free. Won't cost you anything. I know. I'll be right back after this little break. I can prove it up about a Saturday night. You can hit me up enough to make me think it's all right. I try to keep it loose, but a lot of things tight. All right, very quickly, we want to head over to the news desk. A number of things happening. Spoke a few moments ago about the Detroit police officer, Charles Armour. He was hit by a vehicle while directing traffic in Detroit, Michigan last week, a week from today. And unfortunately, he succumbed to his injuries today. The driver of the vehicle
is in police custody, and he was charged with assault with intent to kill. And I'm sure those charges will be elevated. You may have heard this. This is pretty substantial news from the TSA. The Transportation Security Administration has fired 36 TSA security officers, including the top director, and suspended 12 others at the Honolulu airport after they allegedly were not screening the checked-in baggage for explosives, as their job requires. Nico Melendez, the TSA spokesperson, said that the federal agency delivered the letters of proposed termination to the workers and the suspension notices last week. According to Melendez, this violation will not be accepted by the TSA. Las Vegas, Nevada, the courthouse there, which is the local and state courthouse for Las Vegas, recently hired and appointed Robert Sean Bennett as the new security director for the Clark County Courts. He's a former FBI agent, 24 years in the bureau. In Australia, security officers, bouncers, and others in the security industry will be soon authorized to have police authority powers. Australian government says because of the recent decline in police officer staffings, they are now going to empower certain security personnel to arrest, search, and seize, and act as law enforcement. In Grand Mound, Washington, a security officer at the Great Wolf Lodge was assaulted and suffered numerous lacerations. 4 a.m. Friday, he went to investigate a person in the parking lot. The man, between the age of 21 and 25, assaulted him. The security officer said the suspect then fled. Police were not able to locate him. The security officer was treated for his injuries and released. Russellville, Arkansas, the Department of Energy is investigating after a number of security officers at the nuclear power plant was caught sleeping while on duty. Representative Steve Womack said that 4 security guards are accused of sleeping on the job. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is also investigating. In Rico County, Virginia, which is Richmond, Virginia, a young teenager, 19-year-old Catherine Hardy at the Hermitage High School, had just entered the school when her heart stopped and she had a heart attack. School nurses and school security officers rushed to her aid, and with the assistance of an AED, was able to restart the heart. She had an operation and is doing fine. Also off the wires in Indianapolis, Indiana, staying on the theme of schools, the local Indianapolis school security police now will be joining the Indianapolis Metro Police Department, according to Director of Public Safety Frank Straub. The plan that has been put together will absorb the 71-member Indianapolis School Police Force, and it will all become part of the Indianapolis Metro Police Department. Las Vegas, Nevada, 9 executive protection officers are suing the Sands Corporation, Las Vegas Sands Corporation, because they violated overtime laws. According to the 9 officers, they were not paid for their overtime or other expenses. They have sued. One of them was a former Secret Service agent assigned to the White House. Another was a former Defense Department security specialist. They say that they're owed more than 150 hours each of wages. Chicago police report that 5 are dead, 10 others were shot this weekend in an ongoing gang conflict Police there said that the death was a direct result of a conflict that had been brewing for several weeks. Police have no one in custody but are still investigating. In North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, authorities discovered four people dead overnight in a high-profile office complex. Police say that they were called to Highway 54 and Park Office Drive. Three persons were dead inside the vehicle, one outside. They are investigating at this point. Also in North Carolina, Kingston, North Carolina, a Nash County-based U.S. deputy marshal was killed in a shootout while serving an arrest warrant in Kingston, North Carolina. They say that the deputy investigator Warren Lewis was shot by the suspect. Other law enforcement killed the suspect. In Orange County, California, a security officer tackled a man who was waving around a machete in an apartment complex. Police were called to the apartment by a security who had the man in custody. They say the man was irate over a situation with his neighbor. Guilford County, North Carolina, a Guilford College professor has been arrested and has resigned after he was caught by security using a pen camera to upskirt and take video of women. According to police, Jonathan Robert Hatch, a professor at the university, has been released and is out on bond tonight. Marietta, Georgia, just outside of the Atlanta metro area, police are reporting a robbery and attempted carjacking in front of a local Target store. Police say that a suspect took a woman hostage and robbed her and then tried to take her car. Police are still looking for the suspect. In Alabama, you may have heard that the Alabama governor has just signed this week the toughest legislation law against immigration. A major crackdown on illegals in the state of Alabama is underway. The governor, Robert Bentley, said that it is the toughest law in America. Groups such as the American Civil Liberties Union and Montgomery-based Southern Poverty Law Center say that they're going to challenge it, but in the meantime, police and private citizens and business owners are now having to enforce the law, the toughest immigration law in the nation. Columbia, South Carolina, a woman caught shoplifting at the Kmart, speeding down the road in a pursuit with police. Suddenly, the door of the vehicle opened and a 14-month-old baby was thrown from the speeding vehicle. Police arrested 22-year-old Kimberly Moody on a number of felony charges. She's currently still in custody. The child has broken ribs, a collapsed lung, multiple abrasions, and other injuries, and currently is in the ICU at a local hospital. There's a lot of news to tell you about tonight. We won't continue with the news. You can check it out anytime at privateofficer.com. Just click on the news link, and you can get all of the breaking news. If you're not currently following us on Twitter and you're a news hound like I am, then you might want to sign up, Twitter/privateofficer. We update our news number of times during the day, and that's how we send out a lot of information. Training events, other happenings here at Private Officer International is tweeted. It's also on our Facebook. In the birthdays this week, we want to say happy birthday to Kevin Sharp in Mound, Texas. Terrence Wright, 36, Newport News. Greg Hines, Oklahoma City. Got a lot of members down there, 55 years old. Lucy Garcia in San Diego, California. Don't know how old, but happy birthday. and Paul in Butte, Montana, 63 today. Happy birthday to all of you. We're glad to have you as listeners. And if I missed your birthday, or if you just failed to let us know about it, shame, shame on you. Happy birthday to you anyways, and we hope that you had a great day and many more to come. Remember, you can send us your email. We'll announce your birthday, your wedding, your engagement announcement. We've had a couple of those on the show. anniversary, this program is for you and about you. Just send it to us at radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com, and we will be sure to get it on the air. Woo, a lot of stuff going on here at the old Private Officer Talk Radio. Our organization is on the move. We have a lot of stuff happening, and it is sometimes hard to stay on top of it all. It's very easy to overlook things, and we try to stay on top of it. If you're not a member of the association, we do encourage you to join Private Officer International. We're a growing organization and association with members throughout the U.S. and in 26, I wish it was 60 countries, and 26 countries around the world and growing every day. As a member of the association, there's over 40 benefits to your membership. Many people don't use them, but there are over 40 benefits, and it's almost, pennies a day. It is $42 a year, a slight increase from where it had been for a number of years, but $42 a year, very affordable for anyone, even a private security officer making, not so good wages. It's affordable. Join us, www.privateofficer.com. Click on the link that says join the association and sign up today. Want to remind you that we're still compiling our Security in Motion book. You can become a contributor to this. You can be an instant author just by putting together 200-plus words, something that has happened to you while employed in the private security, public safety, or law enforcement fields. Send us 200-plus words telling us about something that happened to you, whether it was a heroic event, you made a good arrest, you tackled the guy down who had a gun, you were involved in something silly and stupid, whatever. In the day, a day in the life of a private security officer is what this book is about, Security in Motion. Once we have it compiled and edited, it will be for sale on Amazon, Books a Million, someplace, a couple of other websites, a number of stores, and you will become an instant author. Send it to us today at adminassist@privateofficer.com. It's pretty cool. I mean, it won't take much of your time or effort, and you'll become an instant author. Wow. That is pretty cool, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. We're going to take a few phone calls. We know we've got a number of new people on with us tonight. If you're interested and you want to call in, now's the time. Area code 347-426-3807. Area code 347-426-3807. Call in. Talk about anything you'd like. Well, almost anything. Talk about the association, the chapters, the training. You have a comment? As long as it's a good one, of course. Call in now. Area code 347-426-3807. We'll keep the phone lines open for a few moments before we move on to the next subject. An email from Al. He says he really enjoyed the Alzheimer's training. His mom currently has the late stages of Alzheimer's and has been had to put mom in a facility. He enjoyed the information, much of which he already knew, but it's good that we're getting this information out early. It may be able to help others. And thank you for listening, Al, and we appreciate your membership. We appreciate what you do for the association. Again, if you would like to call in, don't be bashful. Area code 347-426-3807. If you want to talk about a family member who has the disease, something that you've had to deal with personally, or maybe as a private security officer, you've come upon someone with a disease and you've had to help them out, you're invited to call in right now. Area code 1-347-426-3807. And I'll just sit here and twiddle my thumbs, doodle on the paper, and get a drink of Diet Pepsi, which is bad for you, by the way. I thought it was diet. It was good for you. No calories, you know, no carbs. I'm finding out it's not so good for you. I'm going to drink it anyways. All right, this is the last chance, your last call. If you are interested and you'd like to speak, you'd like to be on the phone, don't be bashful. Call area code 347-426-3807. Talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. Questions about the association, the chapters, the training, whatever you want to talk about. We're going to move on to the next subject for a few moments, and then we're going to head out of here. Places to go, people to see, and things to do, as they say. But remember, join us tomorrow night now. Be here tomorrow night for part two, Alzheimer's recognition and response. Once again, the phone number is area code 1-347-426-3807. Okay. Moving on. The storms, just to let you know, the storms have all but let up. We got a little bit of rain. The thunder and the lightning is gone for now, thank goodness. But we do have to be on high alert because we are in that time of year. Thunderstorms, hailstorms, straight line winds, tornadoes, and even hurricanes in many places are part of the season. As private security officers, we must be prepared, and hopefully we have our disaster bags, we have our preparations in place, especially if you live along the coast, and we're ready at a moment's notice. One more email from Eddie. Eddie says he really enjoyed the training. He said that it thoroughly explained many things. He's had a couple of situations where he's been involved with people with memory loss and other symptoms that we talked about. He really enjoyed it, thought that it was very informative for the private security industry. Can't wait to hear a second half of this tomorrow night. And he says, give yourself a round of applause. Okay. Thanks very much, Eddie, for writing, and thanks for being a listener, and we appreciate having you here with us. People are bashful. They are not going to call, but they will write in. I can't figure that one. All right, what else have we got to talk about? We're going to wrap this up here shortly and move on. But we do hope that you will join us tomorrow. Remember, if you are a certified instructor, if you are an educator, if you have a teacher's degree or certificate in Virginia, we are hiring for Armour University. If you are a certified police officer in Virginia, we are hiring one police officer position. Currently, we've just hired one, and we just appointed a police chief for our new university. Guess who that is? We'll tell you about that maybe next week. We have a lot going on, and we hope that you will participate in everything that is happening at Private Officer International. Do want to mention also that we are giving away free, I mean, no baloney, this is free, three franchises. Our sister company, Private Officer Security Group, will begin franchising in the upcoming weeks, private security agencies. We will give away three franchises as part of this. That means no franchise fees. And for the first 90 days of operation, no other fees, royalties, or any other business fees connected. It will be free. You will only need to get your insurance and your business license for your particular area. If you want more information, send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for you. If you've always wanted to be involved in private security, but you didn't know how to do it, didn't think you had enough money, didn't know exactly who to contact, how to go about it, so on and so forth, this is your opportunity, because Private Officer International and our affiliates, all of the great people that we are involved in, they know all about the security industry, been doing it individually for 25, 30, 40 years. Combined, we have more than 200 years of experience. So it's a great opportunity if you've always wanted to own a private security company to do it now, because we will show you the way and we will give you all of the training, the marketing, the legal assistance, all of that as part of the franchise. And right now we're giving away three franchises. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We do ask that you do a little research on the internet as to the specifics of how a franchise operates. It is a little different than you just opening up your own shop, but it is better than going it alone, because you will have the support, you'll have the training, you'll have the marketing, the legal assistance, the HR assistance. You'll have the advantages of having someone to call, someone there to assist you 24/7. You're not going it alone. So if you're interested, send us an email, adminassist@privateofficer.com. Tell us why you want to own your own security business. Tell us where you are, what city and what state, and someone will get back with you shortly. Who knows? You may be the owner of a new private officer security franchise. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, all right. That would be great. Fantastic. You should no longer be a slave to your employer. We are entrepreneurs here. We believe in the entrepreneurial philosophies. So if you're interested, just send us an email at privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. We are going to wrap up our program for tonight. We're so glad, happy, thrilled as can be that you've been here. And join us tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time,
right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network for part two of the Alzheimer's Recognition and Response Training. Don't miss it. Thanks for being here. Be safe. God bless. We'll see you back here on the radio tomorrow night.